This is Bristol Bay and Beyond on KDLG. Next Thursday marks the 2-year anniversary of the murder of VPSO Thomas Madole in Manicotic. Tom was a country boy, raised on a farm in central Missouri just miles from the Lake of the Ozarks. He was a fisherman and a hunter to his core. He also loved a good cup of strong coffee and a good laugh and was known for his practical jokes. Tom Madole was also a devout Christian and devoted his life to making a positive difference in the lives of others. He pastored a church in Missouri in the 1990s. Then in 1999, a visitor to the church spoke about pastoring churches in Alaska. Tom and his wife, Luann, had been praying, looking for a new place to serve, and they felt this was God's direction for them. On March 17, 2000, the Madoles landed in Bethel and made it their home. Tom pastored the Assembly of God Church there for the next 6 years. At that point, Luann says the idea of getting into law enforcement took root in Tom's heart. He took a job first as a security guard and began training to try out for the state troopers. Tom had a large sarcoma removed and underwent weeks of radiation therapy. After that, he reconditioned his body and was still able, now in his 50s, to land a job as the VPSO in Manicotic. That was the summer of 2011. Luann moved back to Missouri to plan for the next chapter of their lives. Manicotic embraced their new VPSO as a trusted friend and member of the community. Tom made it a point to stop by the school most days and have lunch with the kids. He was trusted to help calm conflicts, too, such as the one that began brewing on March 19, 2013. Leroy B. Dick had become extremely unstable, and his family called for help. Tom, unarmed, went to the house to see if he could be of help to Leroy. He knocked on the door and said hello. Leroy screamed back, and Tom knew it was time to leave. He quickly headed away from the property, but Leroy Dick stepped out and gunned him down in cold blood with a .223 rifle. Leroy Dick was arrested, charged, and convicted of first-degree murder by a jury last fall. A judge later sentenced him to 99 years in prison. The case is now closed, but the healing from that tragic event continues. Through it all, Tom's widow Luann has been a symbol of strength and conviction, and now of forgiveness. She joins me now. Luann, thank you for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Luann, if it's not too difficult, could I ask you to describe March 19th of 2013?
Sure. On that night, I received a knock on my door, and I have to say that that particular knock on my door changed my life forever. I had no idea who was on the other side. In fact, it was a pretty scary event for me. Very few people knew where I was located at that time, just recently being back there. When I opened the door, there stood four officers, all of whom Tom and I knew very well. And also there was Tom's best hunting buddy there. And when I saw, when I first saw the law enforcement officers, I didn't quite know exactly what was going on, but once I saw his hunting buddy, I knew exactly what was going on. So as they entered into my home, instead of me waiting for them, I started asking questions, and they just answered my questions. I asked them, I said, is this about Tom? And they nodded their heads and said, yes. And I said, it isn't good, is it? And they said, no. And I just asked, I said, has he been shot? They said, yes. I said, did he make it? And they told me no. I just immediately went into shock. I felt numb. I felt like it wasn't real. My body just began to shake and quiver on the inside. And I had, just within seconds of learning of his death, I had two thoughts go through my mind. And the first one was, I had to forgive this person who killed Tom. And after some time had passed, I proceeded to call our children and family. And I have to say that those calls were the most painful calls I've ever made.
You said that it was at the trial that you first grew angry with Tom's murderer. And that was almost 2 years later. Can you describe that to us?
Yes. I'm a very visual person. I'm one that needs to have a complete picture to understand something. And the 2 years we had gone with many pieces of the puzzle missing. We had a hard time, I'm going to speak for myself, I had a hard time understanding why Tom laid in the casket there. And we were all having to say goodbye to him. It was just seeing him lay there. It just didn't compute in my brain. So I knew that at the trial, I would be able to get the answers that I needed and find the missing pieces. So whenever we were there, I had set up a time to be able to view the pictures of Tom at the crime scene and to listen to the audio recording that he had on him. And at the time, it was hard for me to comprehend that what I was seeing and what I was hearing, that it really happened to him. And so, again, I was in shock. But I held it all together really well, and I was pressed for time because I only had an hour or so that we had to be at the airport to fly to Manicotic. There was going to be a dedication take place the next day on Sunday for renaming the VPSO building in Tom's honor. So I just told myself, keep it together, deal with it later. So after arriving in Manicotic, we visited the crime scene. We stood on the spot where Tom was taken from us, and I looked around and was trying to imagine exactly what took place that day. And it was later that day that evening that I was sitting in the car with Trooper A, and I was asking him questions because he had just viewed the pictures the day before. And it was at that point that I realized I had become angry with Leroy. The thought that I kept playing over and over in my mind was, he didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve this.
And you hadn't felt that way until that moment in that year and a half that you dealt with the pain of losing Tom and keeping your family together afterwards. It was until then that you were angry.
Correct. It was. It wasn't until then that I really felt that anger.
What did you do about it?
Well, it affected me for about a week and a half, and I could tell that I was starting, it was taking root in my heart. It was in the way that I would respond to people that I finally decided that I had to do something about it. I couldn't ignore it and let it just continue to fester. And so I dealt with it. And at that point, whenever I realized it, that's when I just laid it down at my Lord's feet, and I let him take control of it. And once I did that, I had healing and relief from it.
Do you mind sharing about your interactions with the Dick family and also with Leroy?
Yeah, no, not a problem. To some, this is going to probably sound really, some portions of it's going to be really strange. People may not understand, but we met Leroy's family when we first visited the crime scene. First, let me say that we went to Manicotic anticipating and knowing that we would be meeting Leroy's family because of the dedication. While we were standing on the crime scene area spot where Tom was taken from us, Leroy's mom had came out of her back door, and Trooper A introduced her to us and asked if she wanted to come down to meet us. She extended an invitation for us to come up and visit and that she would fix us some juice. So we took her up on her invitation, and we did go in, and we visited for a little bit. We fell in love with them. It was a good visit. We didn't know what to expect, but we felt that God was directing our steps and that this was a necessary part of our closure and healing. So Leroy's mom and I also ate and sat together at the Sunday dedication, and I believe it was just as important not just for us to receive healing, but also for Leroy's family as well as the village of Manicotic as a whole. And I feel that this was accomplished on many different levels during that time. We did meet Leroy, but we didn't meet him until after the trial was over. My daughter Mindy and I knew that if we didn't seize the opportunity to meet him face-to-face, that we may never be able to. So to help complete our healing, we felt it was necessary and needful to go to Leroy and tell him that we had forgiven him. So we did that on Wednesday morning before we left Dillingham. We visited Leroy at the jail before leaving, and we left feeling like we had accomplished what we needed to accomplish.
During the sentencing, and Leroy was just sentenced to the maximum 99 years. I doubt that he'll ever come out of jail again alive. It was said, and I think it was said by you as well, that that day was a lose-lose. Do you still agree with that?
Yes. The day of the trial, when we had came back for the closing remarks and we had sat down, the jury had came in, I just started looking around the courtroom, and it just hit me, and it was like, this is a no-win situation. Everybody loses here today. And I looked at my daughter with tears streaming down my face, and I told her, I said, we all lose here. Nobody will leave this place winning. And I told her, I said, this is a case of reaping what you sow. And to this day, I still feel the same.
Luann, how are you able to forgive the man who killed your husband?
Well, two things. One, first of all, as a Christian, believing in the Word of God, I believe the Word directs us that we need to do this. And second thing is because I have been down the road of unforgiveness, and I know what it does to a person. And I know how it can consume your mind, and you can do crazy things. And because I had gone down that road of unforgiveness, I decided I had to make a choice. Do I go there again, or do I not? And I chose not to because I have children and grandchildren who need me now more than ever, with their father and grandfather gone, and I couldn't allow the unforgiveness to just totally consume and steal from us. And so I made that choice to forgive.
Luann Madol is the widow of Tom Madol, who was killed in the line of duty 2 years ago next Thursday. She was speaking to us from her home in Papillion, Nebraska. This is Bristol Bay and Beyond on KDLG. Back in a moment.